Good evening.
Pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend your thoughts and union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of a shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Amen. I would like to call this evening's Kendall County Board adjourned September meeting to order for April 3rd at 6 p.m. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sessage?
She will not be here.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
She will not be here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Present.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the minutes as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Giles. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Hendricks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. Now I would like to take a moment and to recognize the Oswego Boys Swim and Dive Co-op team. Gentlemen, thanks for coming out this evening, and we appreciate what you've done. And maybe if I call your name, if you would come up just to the podium area, and is there a coach or a dad that wants to tell us what you did, or even one of you, if you want to tell me what you did as well, we'd appreciate it. And I got a little something that I'll hand out to each of you. So I'll start with... Oh, she did do something. So first I'd like to recognize, let's see, Marshall Hodge. Which one's Marshall? Oswego High School state champion in the AWD Class B 200-yard freestyle. Marshall finished third in the AWD Class B 50-yard freestyle. He's also the state champion in the AWD Class B 100-yard freestyle. Marshall is the state champion in the AWD. Wow, you've done it all, it seems like. Class A 100-yard breaststroke. He is a three-time state champ and earned all state honors in all four events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. And I have to ask, what's AWD?
So what we're is it's a combined category for able-bodied athletes and athletes with disability in the IHSA. In order to qualify, you have to have someone in each category, and then the total points scored for combined wins the championship. We were the only school that had athletes with disabilities, swimmers, and divers, so we scored in every possible category.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great.
A little summary of what we did, and then
yeah,
Michael Phelps here is what we have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Jalen Kaku, did I say it right? He's not here tonight. He was Oswego East High School qualified in diving and finished 24th overall in the state. Congratulations to Jalen, even though he couldn't make it. Austin Millard, sophomore at Oswego High School, finished 8th in the state in the 200-yard freestyle, earning all-state honors in this event. Austin also qualified in the 500-yard freestyle, finishing 20th overall in the state. Congratulations.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Max Padlow, senior at Oswego East High School. Your process of elimination, I'm get it out. Qualified for quick. Qualified for state and diving and advanced to the finals on day two, finishing 10th overall, earning all state honors. Congratulations, Max. Great job. And I'd like to, I don't know if coaches are here, but Daryl Lubner, head coach, is that you spoke? Bob Sprunger. Bob Provost, and Bobby Kaminsky. Three out of four. Okay, got three out of four. Thanks, coaches. I know that a lot of hard work goes into it, and I know you guys put your hearts and souls into it as well. So, you know, the Kendall County Board salutes all four of you, you know, amazingly gifted athletes. You make us proud here in Kendall County and in Oswego, and we're just proud of you for what you've done, and wanted to just take a minute to recognize this. I know it's a great thing that you've done, and hope that you'll continue doing either this or whatever it is that you choose to do as you continue on in your lives as well. So thank you all, and I've got a little something for you guys as well.
Thank you.
Welcome. And then give us a coach to take back to the school or however you want to do it. Just a congratulatory salute to all four boys, to the Kendall County Honors, the Oswego Boys Swim and Dive Co-op for winning the 2019 Combined HASA State Championship, presented this third day of April 2019.
Can we get a photo, Mr. Chairman?
Will you see Jalen?
Yes, sir.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Bob, get over here. Not you, Bob. Matt,
what do you think?
It's in there.
Thank you.
Come
to the background. I'm short, I still don't like that. Was it working?
That's awesome. Really cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did you bring the hardware? Should have brought the. Should have made you bring the big trophy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you.
Citizens be heard. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. On your agenda tonight is discussion about changing the board rules regarding citizens' comments. I'm a frequent attendee of these meetings. There's been other boards that made special provisions for me. Oswego Township, it was a one-minute time limit. I think five is probably doable. There's not that many citizens that come, so I question whether we need a one-hour comment limit or not. I like the part about, with the consent of the majority of the county board, that the time can be extended. That would allow for pertinent discussion, that somebody's on point. If a number of board members warrant that they want to hear the person out, that would be allowed. So that provision, I think, is acceptable. One of the other things that this one-hour time limit, if you're going to impose it, then the citizens that want to come and see Debbie on Thursday should be put up on the agenda, not just lumped in there. That looks like that's being removed. I think it should still be there if they're want to spend enough time to come see our county clerk and want to be put on the agenda, then they should be allowed their 5 minutes to do so. And if you're going to impose that time limit for 1 hour, that those people that come before and ask Debbie to be put on the agenda, their time should not be taken out of that 1 hour. So those are some recommendations I would ask for consideration on from the public. I attended the ZBA meeting on Monday night. There was several residents there that came for Oswego Township. It was shared at that time that Matt said that apparently Chairman Grider and Township Supervisor Leclerc were in discussions about allowing for, I guess, some mutual arrangement to come to allow for a little more better oversight and enforcement. And I did talk to a trustee from Oswego Township this afternoon who indicated that they were more than willing to help fund their part of that arrangement. So the residents that showed up on Monday night thought that was much needed and additional attention and I don't know if I'm going to say funds, manpower, resources, I don't know what term I want to use there, should be applied and to work on some of the issues that are in Boulder Hero. I'm encouraging that effort to continue and see if you can come to some type of working relationship with Oswego Township to meet those residents' needs in the Boulder Hill area. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other residents to be heard? Executive session. I do have a reason to go in. I think we can wait till the end, though, to do that. Okay. Old business, new business, standing committee reports, highway. I had Fran come out specifically for our highway discussion, just in case there are any questions. First, may I have a motion to approve the farm license agreement with George Stuck to allow for planting and harvesting a grass alfalfa mix on approximately 7 acres of Elmaine Road, right of way east of Fox Road, at a price of $100 per acre for 3 years.
Moved.
Motion second. By Kellogg, seconded by Flowers. Any questions on this, Mr. Prochaska?
So if all of a sudden tomorrow we get the money from either the state or federal government for the Elmaine Road Bridge, we're not going to be encumbered by this at all?
Is that accurate, Frank?
Address? We can cancel.
Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Purcell?
So this is strictly that whole strip?
Just the right of way. So, yeah, you know, maybe 50 feet on each side of that little gravel road that we put in last fall.
Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Aye.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the petition for county aid from Fox Road District to replace culvert on Rogers Road at an approximate cost of $50,000. Said cost shared equally between each agency.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Hendricks. Fran, do you want to talk about this just a little bit? What is going on here?
This board had previously approved a resurfacing of Rogers Road, and as we got into the nuts and bolts of that contract.
Your time's up, Todd.
Oh, mine too?
Yeah, you wish.
We found there's a 7-foot diameter culvert under Rogers Road just east of Oak Brook Road, and very large culvert, but in really, really bad condition.
Oak Road?
Rogers Road.
I thought you said Oak Brook.
Oh, just east of Oak Brook, under Rogers. So anyway, we didn't want to do the resurfacing of the roadway until that culvert was replaced. It's a big enough project that the township was able to petition the county for aid, which is typical for townships to do that when they have projects that are over 0.02% of their assessed valuation, then they're eligible to petition the county, and that's what he's done for this particular project. We really don't expect the cost to be $50,000. It'll probably be $40,000 or less, but there's a little bit of a cushion in there. So it'll be approximately $20,000 to $25,000 commitment and obligation on the county's part.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Purcell.
If approved.
Two things. One is, which fund did you say is coming out again?
County Bridge.
County Bridge. And then, is this that real heavily wooded area?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Just around the corner from where the old Indian...
Merrimack?
Yeah, no.
No, but there's...
And what was it?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know
right up Oak Brook Road is
right
where he...
From there.
Pretty much.
Is mm-hmm. it Oak Brook or Burr Oak?
Oak Brook.
Oak Brook. Oh, okay.
There's a Burr Oak in the neighborhood too, but this is Oak Brook.
Okay.
Yeah, tees into
is
Rogers.
Is that where a big honking tree is?
Yes, there's a huge sycamore right there.
Oh, my
there.
God, that thing is huge. It is. I don't know how old it is.
Very.
It's older than I am.
Wow.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
I think Tony fainted.
Explain how much that is?
The dinosaurs are leaving you.
All right, thanks, Fran. Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Thank you. All ayes. And thanks, Fran. Finance Committee, Mr. Kellogg.
So I can make a motion to approve claims the amount not to exceed $887,380.41.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. And for this next item, Member Purcell has indicated that he will be abstaining from this vote, and under our board rules of order, will be treated as though he is not present.
I'd like to make a motion to approve coroner claims in amount not to exceed $6,287.15.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All ayes. Thank you. Anything else on finance?
I have one question.
Mr. Purcell.
Actually, our administrator. Where are the senior levies at? We talked about that before previous meeting.
They're still being processed. I think they had to go, it had to do with the extra money that was asked to be added to be distributed with it. I don't know if an amendment would have to be done, but it had to do with the extra money, the increased money to be distributed.
It's not that hard, but anyway. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Admin HR, Liz?
I would make it a motion to approve the Kendall County employment application.
So moved.
Motion by Flower, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion on this? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Present.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All ayes and a present vote. So what is that, 7-0-1? Yeah. All right.
And I make a motion to approve the update to the Kendall County Board Rules of Order pertaining to public comment and agenda.
Motion by Flowers.
Second.
Seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Mr. Purcell?
You know, I asked this, well, I was going to ask this at this meeting, whoever, or two, whomever. What, why do we have a need to do this? What is wrong with our current rules?
Each couple.
This was brought to my attention from the state's attorney's office that when there was a case that went through the attorney general's office, and that everybody should look at and review their board rules of order. So I went through and made some updates to reflect more what we do currently at the county as far as the 5 minutes for public comment portion that happens twice at the meeting. So that was added to make it a little bit clearer in the board rules of order. Additionally, the committee wanted the E1 on page 26 added about persons addressing the board be permitted to make statements, conduct of the disturbed. So that came from the committee to be added there. There's also a little bit of language added so that all the committees of the board have to have public comment, and all special, you know, standing and special committees of the board need to have public comment on their agendas to make sure that that's included in the board rules, so that all those committees do have public comment as well. And then there was some cleanup as far as adding, you know, removing the public building commission because it's not on the agenda because it doesn't exist anymore. And then as far as the removal of the two parts at the end about getting added to the agenda for zoning or other matters, not typically, but in order to get added to the agenda, you would need to know, you wouldn't know what's on the agenda because the agenda hasn't been published yet because of the 48-hour rule. So that doesn't happen often. Where people were added to the agenda to speak because they don't know the topics that are going to be on the agenda to speak about. And if there is a 5 minute comment period made available twice at the meeting for anyone, then that would fill that role. And then also for the hour rule, that was discussed at committee. But if there isn't a rule that's established, then there is no then you can't have any type of enforcement on time. And the thought was it's an hour for each session or each public comment section, so that it would be a total of 2 hours for the meeting for public comment, and that was the thought behind it and the discussions that happened at the committee.
Ms. Purcell.
So this pertains to public comment and the agenda. The agenda meaning you're pulling the BDC item off?
So the agenda being in the board rules of order, the agenda for the county board meetings is laid out in the, you know, how the agenda should appear is in the board rules of order. So it's changing citizens to be heard to public comment, which is the normal, when the board refers to it, they say public comment almost every time. So just to make it more familiar for people coming to the meeting. And then cleaning up in there as well, like adding or removing the Public Building Commission on the agenda in the Board Rules of Order, like I had said.
Any other changes to the rules?
The other one was other state associations and organizations as a report was asked to be added as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Joss.
Just clarity, I don't know if I heard you wrong. So are you saying that we need to have a public comment on twice now?
It has been on the agenda twice, and that the committee thought that they should leave it on twice so people could speak before votes happen and then in reaction to votes at the end of the meeting.
So at the committee level, do we need that as well?
It does not specify. It just says that you need to follow the rules for public comment, and it must appear on the agenda.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you. Just want to make sure.
Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Law, Justice, and Legislation, Mr. Giles.
Make a motion to approve resolution opposing SB 1216.
Motion by Giles.
Second.
Seconded by Flowers. Any discussion? Mr. Purcell?
And tell me if I'm wrong, but I'll correct what they got. But basically, this shifts the burden of proof back onto, like, say, someone works for us, just burden of proof back onto us that we must provide clear and convincing evidence that. If we withhold something, and then it changes the fee. Instead of the court may impose a fee, but it says that the court shall impose a fee of $1,000. So, of $1,000. So that could add up very quickly, and then the another concern is the burden of proof being placed on us if something is omitted.
There's a copy of the resolution as a handout that everybody received. Ms. Hendricks.
I have a question for the state's attorney. Mm-hmm. And this is a difficult one because we're balancing the public's right to know and freedom of speech with the government's need to sometimes not disclose, right? Mm-hmm. And so my question is, how would we be able to prove that we needed to keep something from being disclosed, exempt from disclosure, without actually disclosing what it is we're trying not to disclose?
You know, that's something that FOIA officers, we already have the burden in a lot of contexts of presenting that, and that's something we have to wrestle with, or the FOIA officers individually have to wrestle with on an independent basis. So I can't really give you a clean answer to that. If at some point you want to talk about examples later, we can, but in reality, that's part of the process. We have to demonstrate why we have a justifiable basis for withholding, and it always depends on what we're withholding and why that reason is. So I can't give you, I can't give you a clean, straight answer, but that's part of the process of the FOIA officer.
So how much of a change does this represent?
The bigger change is the fee schedule, okay, and or the fines and the attorney's fees.
And what other recourse would the public writ large have other than the fine or the penalty? What other recourse would they?
Well, they always have had the recourse to go to the PAC, the public access counselor, who reviews FOIA denials or FOIA responses, and they've always had the ability to go to the courts and file a lawsuit. That doesn't change. It's just harshens
the
penalties,
fee structure
is my understanding of it. I'll be honest, we weren't asked to review this resolution, so I haven't looked at it in detail or for this meeting in any way, but that's as a FOIA officer and knowing the process. So that's the recourse. It's still there. The major change is that it's harsher penalties and punishments.
Okay.
So I have a question on this. The paragraph 2, it looks like, is the big change maybe, where it says the requirement imposes specified civil penalties the court, or it says, whereas SB 1216 removes the requirement that before imposing specified civil penalties, the court find that a public body willfully and intentionally failed to comply with the act.
She's looking for hers.
Oh.
No, I'm
sorry. No, go ahead. So is that what the change is then? Failed to comply with the act or otherwise acted in bad faith, that it takes away that burden?
That's
scheduled.
Oh, Scott.
But
yes, that's the worry, that if it is an honest mistake, or if we act upon advice or misinterpreting, but we honestly made a mistake, that it would still, we would still get hit with fines. I agree with the way that's worded as it is in the law now. If we willfully do it, or if, you know, we acting in bad faith, then there should be fines. But if it's an honest mistake and then we have to release the documents, we shouldn't be, I felt it would hurt the county adversely on an honest mistake or a, you know, bad advice kind of a situation where there's a disagreement, because a lot of it is based on AG opinions and the FOIA law itself, and it can get quite complicated, and it could, an honest mistake could happen.
Mr. Keller.
I worry about this for some of the communities within our county that are right. Small enough that if this were to happen, $1,000 a day for Millbrook, Platteville, Lisbon, Newark probably, but that's more than, it could be more than their budget for the whole year for some of those. So to do a flat $1,000 per, no matter who you are, seems a little ridiculous. The city of Chicago pays $1,000 a day and Platteville pays $1,000 a day.
Any other comments? Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes.
To make a motion approving of the 2019 ISACO dues in the amount of $7,871.42.
Second.
Be paid from County Board dues and membership budget line item 010-2-032-6203.
Second.
Motion by Giles, seconded by Hendricks. And is this now for, that amount sounds similar to last year's, Scott?
It's actually $4,000 more than we paid last year. Last year, the County Board chose not to be in the Large Counties Caucus, which is about $4,000 of the price. The other reason that this is on, it was sent to committee and is on the board agenda, is that it will take that budget line over. And the decision from the committee was to send it to the board and to pay the over out of contingency.
And so on page 41 of our packet, it has the due structure. So it, to Kellogg's, remember Kellogg's point a minute ago, it does take into consideration the size of the county. Any questions on this, Ms. Flowers?
I had a question. Why did we not get in, you know, go last year, but we're going this year?
I think we were dipping our toe in to see how this organization was going to operate. Mm-hmm. And now the committee felt that it would be sense to join Large County as well, Mr. Prochaska.
And if I also recall, they approached us, this was a mid-year creation last year, and they approached us middle of the budget year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, obviously, last year we thought, well, let's just try Collar County and the base ISACO. This year it's full year.
Okay.
Is there a benefit to joining Large County?
There is. We get another shake at the, get another bite at the apple. Large County has their own organization and lobbyists that they help pay for and they control. So if the downstate counties and large counties have different issues that they're interested in, sometimes the large county will take an issue and sometimes the Collar County will take
an issue. And how do you define a large county?
Over 100,000.
How many counties are over 100,000 in this organization?
In this organization currently?
There's about 25 probably that would fit the bill.
Yeah, there is currently 8 in this association.
So tell me those 8 besides Kendall. That'd be one.
Kendall, Cook, DuPage, Kane, McHenry, Tazewell, Winnebago.
How about Will?
Will. Kankakee is joining, and so is Sangamon.
So we'll be relatively small in this small middle of this pond. Mm-hmm. Do they have the same interests we do?
Some of them, on most county issues, yes, in my opinion.
I never know Cook County has the same interests we do.
There's also a rural action caucus, or rural caucus. I feel like we also could, you know, there are parts of the county that could fit that as well. Have you looked at that, or has that been examined by the committee at all? And Are we not a fit for that?
There is no rural caucus membership structure. There is some discussions back and forth on how at the SACL board and how that would look. But we haven't yet come to a final determination.
Ms. Purcell?
So does this give us another representative, or will you just represent both or all?
I believe currently on the IS for the large county caucus, if we were to formally join, I believe currently you are the large county caucus representative.
Well, that's
so we'll have to change that.
Yeah. Okay. So there would be one person, and you're a representative for.
I'm on the executive board of ISACO. I would not want to be on the large county caucus board.
And what was the recommendation out of committee?
For this was to join everything.
Was it a full recommendation? What was the actual vote?
I just read it. Why can't you?
It's on page 41 on the agenda briefing.
I'm sorry.
It's on page 41 of the agenda briefing. It was motion by Member Hendricks, second by Prochaska, to forward to the county board for approval to pay the ISACL membership dues out of contingency budget line item. All members voted yes.
I like the agenda briefing really much. Thank you. Other questions? Ms. Hendricks?
It's more of a comment, really. But because of the size of the large county caucus, this is a good time to dip our toe into that and to be there at the very beginning. And I've been reading their updates and emails to us quite attentively, and I have to say so far, I am appreciating their work. So I feel comfortable with this, at least for now, at the size the caucus is.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Gilmore?
Mr.
Somebody had an election yesterday.
Mr. Greider.
Hi.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Mr. Purcell.
Aye.
That's funny.
Oh,
yeah. All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Vickers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports. KenCom Executive Board. Mr. Prochaska.
No reports, sir.
Housing Authority, Mr. Prochaska?
Housing Authority did not meet in the month of March. We don't have a meeting planned in April, but we will be meeting again in May.
Thank you. Board of Health?
I was out of town during the last Board of Health meeting, so I wouldn't attend, but there's nothing on the agenda that would be relevant to discuss at this point.
Thank you. Chairman's report. May I have a motion to approve David Thompson, reappointment, Newark Fire District, 3-year term, expiring April 2022. Shorty Dixon, Bristol Kennel Fire, 3-year term, expiring April 2022. Gary Pop, Tax Board Review, 2-year term, expiring April 2021. Ted Schneller, Tax Board Review, 2-year term, expiring May 2021. David Zilke, Tax Board Review, alternate, 2-year term, expiring May 2021. And Christine Hyman, Ethics Commission, 2-year term, expiring April 2021.
So second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Flowers. Discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Announcing the appointment of Elizabeth Holmberg, 708 Mental Health Board, for a 4-year term, expiring on February 2023. And then finally, I want to recognize John Purcell and his victory and congratulate him for his next role, which will be coming in middle of May or so.
And soon enough for all you.
Soon enough for us. And, congratulations, and just wanted to acknowledge that as well. So that'll be a big change for us here at Kendall County. And as much of a hard time as we give you and you give us, we appreciate your tenure here, and we'll have more time to get sappy, but I wanted to at least acknowledge that.
Thank you very much.
Other business? Citizens to be heard? Oh, I do. Thank you. I did want to mention as well, Veterans Serenity Park groundbreaking ceremony in Oswego is Saturday, April 13th at 11 a.m. The committee, Oswegoland Park District, Oswegoland Park Foundation, and veterans are invited to the groundbreaking ceremony located on Adams Street north of Hudson Crossing Park along the Fox River from the Oswego Greenhouse. If any of you know where that is. So that'll be at 11 a.m. on April 13th. All right, so, questions from the press?
No questions.
There is a need for executive session for the purpose of?
The 5 ILCS 120/2C5, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired.
I have a motion.
So moved.
Ms. Second. Hendricks, seconded by Flowers. Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
You say it's